the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning, everyone. It's really, really lovely to be with you this morning. My name's Gemma. I'm part of the leadership team here at Belmont, and as Johnny said, I'm going to be talking to us in like two parts this morning. So you've got like 10 minutes of me now and then 7 minutes of me later. So, you know, the anticipation I can sense is growing. To start off with, though, this morning, I want to introduce you to this lady. This is Hayley McGlawley. I don't know if you've seen her or if you know anything about her. She's from Wigan. We don't hold that against her. Sorry, that was really rude. Apologies if you are from Wigan. She has become, this week, for the second time in a row, flat pack world champion, okay? So in order to win her title this year, she put together this bedside chest from the Malm collection from IKEA in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. And I know. And to judge it, the judge comes round and he opens the drawers and he sits on it to make sure it's not going to collapse and everything else. And she did it. And I thought that's pretty impressive. Personally, I think that's very, very impressive. And it got me thinking, what random thing in this world am I very good at? What would I be world champion of? What is one thing in this life that I have nailed down? And that's my question to you this morning for you to think about, either by yourself or with the people around you. What is one thing in life that you could become world champion of? What is the one thing in life you have nailed? Off you go. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. I wonder what you said. I mean, I don't know. Does anyone want to share what they feel like is their thing? Sneezing, was that? Strong? That's a strong one. That is a strong one. Pardon? Procrastinating, also a strong one. Yeah, I'd challenge you for that, I think. Any others?
Creative writing.
I like that one. I think it's really hard. I think it's really hard to kind of nail down, because the reality is, as I was thinking about this week, everything I do that I think I do well, I could probably do better. And I also think there might be someone better at it than me in the world too. There are very few things in life, actually, I think, that we feel like there's no room for improvement, there's no room for growth. Even Hayley wants to come back. I mean, she did it last year, she beat her time this year, she wants to go back next year and beat it again. It's a natural part of life. Growth is a natural part of life. And actually, it should be a natural part of our Christian life as well. That desire to want to grow, to want to become more like Jesus day in and day out, is what we should aspire and shape our lives around. And this morning we're thinking about that individually, but we're also thinking about that collectively this morning together as a church. This morning we're going to be looking at a section of Colossians that helps us to think about that a little bit more. And in our first talk this morning, we're going to be thinking about Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Now, the words are going to come up on the screen, but if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, please feel free to do that too. Okay, you can follow along then as we go. Here we go. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Unlike other churches that Paul writes to in his letters, or some of the other churches he writes to in his letters, Paul had actually never visited Colossae. The church in Colossae was a result of Paul's ministry in nearby Ephesus. And basically, an early church planter had been in Ephesus and then went back home and took the gospel with him. Now, the church in Colossae was diverse, it was enthusiastic, but because Colossae was a previous trade route, the church was made up of lots and lots of different people with lots and lots of different backgrounds. This resulted in a really rich community that represented something of that kind of universal welcome that's extended by Christ in his death and resurrection. But this diversity and this difference in background also came with challenges in both doctrine and teaching. This is hinted at in the first part of Paul's letter to the church. It also came with challenges in Christian living as well, which is kind of where our section today comes from. Now, in a text, when we see a therefore, it's always worth us asking what it's there for. And earlier on in the chapter, Paul has discussed the need for the church in Colossae to set their hearts and their minds on things above, to put to death what is of their earthly nature, and reminds them that they are one together. He says, here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In light of that difference and that need to re-anchor, to kind of reposition their lives, Paul gives them instructions on how to live their lives, both as individuals, but also collectively as a group of believers together. And we're going to take a couple of moments now to think a little bit more about that. So, on your own, I'm going to put the verses back up. And I'd love you to do two things, okay? As you read these verses in a minute, I'd love you to think about what you do well as you read them, okay? What do I do well? But I'd also love you to think about, what could you do better? So what do I do well? What could I do better? So we'll have a little bit of quiet. The verses are on the screen. You might have them in front of you as well. Just have a little look, have a little think. What do I do well? But what could I do better? Off you go. See, Paul says, if you are someone who knows and loves the Lord, in the light of the fact that you need to re-anchor, to reposition your life, in light of the fact that you are setting your heart and your mind on things above, on the Lord and not ourselves or the world, in light of the fact that Christ is in all and has died for all, this is how we should live together. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that list, there's a lot of room for improvement in my own life. Going back to our earlier questions, there's nothing here that I feel like I've nailed. And I definitely need to grow here. And I imagine, without being rude or disparaging to anyone else in the room, I'm not the only person that feels like that. The truth is that the majority of these qualities, compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, they go against our human nature. And actually, they go against often what the world tells us we need to be. These qualities are sometimes understood as a sign of weakness, not a strength. And they can and often be discouraged in favour of self-promoting and individualistic mindsets and tendencies. However, Paul says here that as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is how we are to live. Now, these are some pretty high demands of us, but they're made of a people who already know and love God. That means that this is not a requirement to get in, but rather an expectation of life with. We also do this out of a place of being holy, that is set apart and dearly loved. We don't do this to be holy or to be loved. Yeah, that's really important. Paul is also addressing those who are already God's chosen people. Those who know him, those who love him, and have accepted Christ Jesus into their lives. That means that this is done with the help of the Holy Spirit. God in us, shaping us and moulding us and transforming us into the likeness of Christ. This is not something that Paul expects any of us to do by ourselves. Paul also tells us what these virtues will look like in real life. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. He lets us know how we manage to do it too. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We seek to grow then, not out of a desire to be loved, but out of our desire to love, and to therefore love others more and better. We seek to grow out of a desire to better know and follow the one who saves us and the one who claimed us on the cross. And we seek to grow because we recognise our own weakness, our own failings, and because we want to do better. As we read these verses, I hope you also notice one key element to this as well. This growth isn't something we can do by ourselves, nor is it something actually that Paul expects us to do by ourselves. Firstly, Paul is writing to a church, a group or a body of people joined together by their love and their pursuit of Jesus, much like many of us sat here today. Secondly, compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, they're not things we can practice individually, right? They require others to help us practice and nurture them. Bearing with each other, forgiving one another, that's not an individual task, that requires community. If we want to grow, as we are encouraged to want to grow, we need to do it with others. And in our second talk, we're going to think a little bit more about what that looks like. I'm going to pass over to Rich. Hello, I'm back. Clive just called it the sequel, so there you go. This morning we've thought about why we grow, and we've heard really eloquently from Irene, from Janice, from Chris, how home groups, being in close community with other believers, have helped them to grow in their faith and bring them closer to Jesus. We've also heard the other things that home group provide for us, a sense of community, a sense of family, a sense of being part of something wider. We've heard how home groups can encourage us, how they can inspire us, how they can help us to navigate situations. That's what we heard from Off the Wall earlier. I don't know how many of you grew up in Christian families, have come and live life with Christian parents, but that wasn't my experience growing up. I didn't have a Christian family. I don't have Christian parents. Going to church was something that I did kind of by myself. And because of that, the people that prayed for me, the people that taught me, the people who encouraged me, the people that challenged me, the people that showed me what it looked like to live with Jesus, to do university with Jesus, to be married with Jesus, to have kids with Jesus, like to do all these life stages with Jesus, they weren't my parents. They were my church. They were, in the most part, my house group back when I lived in Burnham and now. We're going to spend some time this morning in this sort of period thinking about what life in community can and does do, what being with other believers can look like. And to do that, we're going to just go a little bit further on in Colossians and look at Colossians 3, 15 to 17. So if you have a Bible, that's great. The words will be on the screen again, but please follow along in your Bibles too, if you want. It says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to be peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I know that my experience of church, in the most part, has been really positive. It's been a really supportive and encouraging and welcoming environment for me. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really passionate about church. That's one of the reasons why I'm probably a little bit protective over church as well. But I recognise that for lots of people, that hasn't been the experience that they have. It's not always an easy thing for people for all sorts of reasons. And there have been times in my life where things have gone wrong or situations have occurred, and church has been a really difficult place. That peace that Paul talks about here hasn't been my reality. And there might be people here this morning watching online or sat here that's the case too. And if that is here, well, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening in whatever shape that is taking place. Living in community with each other can be really hard. We've thought a little bit about why that is and why we need patience and kindness and humility and love earlier today. But it's difficult. It's difficult to forgive, and that takes time. And it's difficult to have capacity to bear with other people when things are really hard. Can I encourage you, though, if that is you, to pray and to continue praying for healing and for that sense of peace that that Paul calls us to? If you're able, ask others to pray for you and with you too. As we've thought about this morning already, life with Christ is not meant to be lived alone. We're not meant to be islands. We love better in community, grow better in community, and become more like Christ better in community. Paul says to the church in Colossae, it is worth trying it this way. So please keep going, because it is worth trying it this way. As we think about it then, what it looks like to grow together, I really want to focus in on those verses 16 to 17 of Colossians 3. I'm just going to read them again. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now here, Paul has given us a blueprint almost of what our gathered time should look like. Teaching and admonishing, that is challenging or correcting one another. But not with our own wisdom, and I actually think that's really important, but through the wisdom found in the psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. And I think that's important because ultimately the goal here, as Paul has been really clear to say, is to love in humility, forgiveness and peace. When we teach one another, and when we challenge or correct one another, this is to be done through the wisdom of Scripture and not self. It's not for us to tell people what they should and shouldn't do, but rather as a community to point each other towards what Scripture says is good and right and of God. This also requires us to being open to being told what is good and right and of God too. That is to say, we need to be just as open to receiving challenge as we are to give it, and likewise just as open to give encouragement as we are to receive it. It also requires us to be honest with one another too, to be vulnerable and open enough to share when things are difficult, when we're struggling, when we know that we've got stuff wrong. That's something that was spoken about. Irene talked about it being a place where she can share, knowing that her confidentiality is kept and that people are praying for her. It requires us then to create a space where that is possible. As believers, as community together, to create an environment where it's possible for people to share those things in those places. Now, we often forget, because we are so blessed at Belmont with size and space, that churches that Paul are writing to would likely have been house churches. They would have been made up of as many people as could fit in like a living room or a space. These conversations then were being had with small groups who met regularly to pray, small groups who met regularly to sing, to understand the scriptures and the teaching better. These churches then were probably more like our home groups or our house groups. And if we think about it, these are probably the places where we, in our church life here at Belmont, have those conversations more often, or at least maybe they should be. Our house groups should be these places then where together, alongside one another and the Spirit of God, through encouragement, teaching and challenge, we are growing to be more compassionate. We're growing in kindness, in humility, in gentleness and patience together with one another. We're growing and we're encouraging others to grow in the process. Paul expands it then and says, whatever you do, and that's a collective you, by the way, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's our Bible study, whether it's a trip to the beach, whether it's picking someone up from Scouts because that's what's needed in your house group that week, or serving tea and coffee like my house group are going to do in a minute, together we do it in the name of the Lord. And so again, we're going to try something we tried earlier on today. I want you to have a look in a minute at the verses on the screen. And I want you to ask yourself the same question before, but tweaked a little bit. Because this time I want you to think about your house group, your home group. If you're sat in here today as a 14 to 18 year old, I want you to think about off the wall. And if you're sat in here and you're not part of a house group, I hope and pray that you have been inspired to join one. Please contact the office if that's something you want to do. Yeah. But also you might want to think about a small group that you've been a part of in the past. So I want you to think, what do we do well on this list as a house group? And what could we do better? Okay, as we look at those words. So I'm going to give you a few moments to do that now. Can I encourage you, next time you meet as a house group, to maybe talk about those things, especially if there's been a particular thing that stood out to you. As Chris mentioned, our house group, we have a WhatsApp. I'm sure lots of other groups have a WhatsApp or a group way of communicating. If that's so, you might want to post something in it, if something stood out to you that you can discuss when you next meet, or discuss on WhatsApp, because that is what it's there for too. Other messaging services are available, probably should say. I think as we look at Colossians 3, 12 to 17 as a chunk then, we see that in order to grow and be followers of Christ, or at least the Christ that we're called to be, we need the help and the support, the example, the encouragement, the challenge of other people. And I think there's an element of that needing to be done in a trusted group. Being a Christian is not something we're supposed to do on our own. It's not something that we can do on our own, actually. It requires a collective effort. And it's something that we're supposed to be doing together as one. We've talked a lot this morning about how great church is. And church is great. But church can also not be great. Church can be one of the most testing and challenging environments we ever find ourselves in. But it can also be the most fruitful thing that we're ever a part of, the most beneficial thing that we're ever a part of. And house groups, they're just the same. If we want to grow as Christ calls us to grow, as Paul encourages us to grow, I think we need to do that together. in community with one another. It's not always easy, and sometimes it can be really hard work, especially if you've had a tough day and then you've got to go out again in the evening. But it is always worth it. That's my experience anyway. And it's definitely worth it if we want to become more like the people God has called us to be. Let me hand it back over to Clive.